Pardon me. Thank you for acknowledging that beautiful piece. I'm not sure if people are aware of how much goes into creating those. It's quite epic. I only am on it from a small portion of the recording end, but Mary directing it and with David's assistance and our mixer, John, who just does a fantastic, completely uncomplaining job. And this time, the PowerPoint was done by one of our practitioners, Christine Voth, who, I don't know if she's here today, but she did a beautiful job with selecting the pictures that are contributed by many people in the choir and the congregation. And Chris, of course, playing the piano as eloquently as he always does. It's quite a production and quite a testament to our community that we've managed to carry on without live choir for 20 months now, is it? But who's counting, right? I decided to stop counting because, you know, never mind. But that's not what I'm talking about today, actually. I'm talking about the opposite of what I just said, which is the gentle art of blessing and blessing exponentially. The term blessing exponentially came up for me with a friend of mine. Some of you know that I went to India in early 2018, and I went with Service Space, with a group of 60 humanitarian leaders from around the world. And it was this incredible global experience that took place in India near the Gandhi Ashram, where we meditated and we met and we prayed and we talked about what it was like to be a compassionate leader, what our struggles were, what were some of the things that we were striving for, what we were willing to let go of, all kinds of topics like that. It was a very beautiful, beautiful celebration of grace and goodness in the world with this global community of people of all different faiths and colors and ethnicities, and it was just amazing. One of my favorite people that I am still friends with from that gathering is my friend Jerry. Jerry is an American, and it's funny, I connected with him not because of his credentials, which are significant, but because he was one of the few people, I'm looking down because I'm a little embarrassed about this. Everybody there was very earnest, and many of you know that I have kind of an irreverent streak, perhaps. And Jerry was willing to go there with me. He was willing to play around and have fun, and then by the end, everybody was playing around and having fun. Jerry and I just got to that place a little quicker than some of the others, but... Anyway, Jerry is someone that in his 20s, he was hiking in the Middle East and he stepped on a landmine and he lost his leg. And rather than letting that ruin his life, he let it bless his life. He worked for years to create legislation that would ban landmines from the Middle East and also provide opportunities for people with disabilities. Because of his work, he and his partners that he was working with won the Nobel Peace Prize for that, which was really just so wonderful, and it couldn't have happened to a greater person. Jerry, you know, again, he has kind of a fancy resume. He's a college professor, and he writes books, and he was friends with Princess Diana, which I wanted to know all about. But I was in this situation with him recently where I'd had to do an interview on a global conference call, and I interviewed Jerry talking about his new book, book about religion, because that's his field of study at the moment. And at the end of this epic talk about religion, I asked Jerry, what is the one thing that you want us to know? When we leave this call, what is the one thing that you want us to know? And Jerry said, I want you to bless exponentially. Bless exponentially. Now, what is it to bless? You know, I've always heard that blessing is to bestow good upon. And in this teaching, yes, we would say to bestow good upon, but we would also say that it's revealing the good that is already there, because we believe that there is this infusion of good that is in the universe that needs to be revealed. There is nothing to be healed, only wholeness or goodness to be revealed. The reading is that... Kim did today is from a book called The Gentle Art of Blessing by Pierre Pradovand, and he defines blessing as to bless is to acknowledge the unlimited good that is embedded in the very texture of the universe and awaiting each and all. You get how powerful that is, that there is this consensus of good, this conspiracy of good, this texture of good that is in the very universe that is awaiting us to realize it. You know, again, I say this every week. Are you getting sick of hearing me say this? Well, say it, Vaughn. Okay, say it. What is it you say every week? The kingdom of heaven is spread upon the earth, and yet men and women do not see it. But we can see it. We can see it. And one way that we can reveal the kingdom of heaven on earth, right, because we believe that heaven is here and now. It's not a destination place that you get to go to when you die. It's a place that is a state of mind that we awaken to. The kingdom of heaven, meaning the consciousness of oneness and wholeness and unity. The kingdom of heaven, this consciousness of wholeness and oneness and unity, is spread upon the earth, and we get to do the work to see it. And part of that work is blessing. And part of that work is blessing exponentially. Now, I did not go over my sixth grade math to really look about, reconsider what exponents are. It's like when it's something squared, right? Or to the third, right? Let's just say it's a whole lot, okay? It's a whole lot. It multiplies like more than just normal multiplication. It just multiplies all over the place. And that's actually profound in this teaching because we talk a lot about the ripple effect, right? The ripple effect is actually exponential. If you do an act of kindness, that act of kindness ripples out and blesses the whole world. It's like a prism that throws light in unseen and unknown ways. Same thing with blessing exponentially. So in theory, it sounds wonderful. But how do we actually bless exponentially? I would say that one of the things that we get to do is to focus on small acts. Focus on small acts and recognize that there is no small or big in the universe of God or in the kingdom of heaven. Small and large, small and big have no meaning because everything is meaningful in the kingdom of heaven. Another way of saying this, I think, is to recognize that we already have the capacity to bless. Some might call it, we have a superpower to bless. The superpower ability to bless, but we just don't always recognize it, or we don't always see it because we don't know that it is significant. I'm going to tell you a story about a friend of mine. Some of you who have been here for a long time may remember Becky Burnham, who was she was the board president for quite a while and just a really just present volunteer here in the center. And she moved away, I think it was 2017, because her mother was aging and she wanted to take care of her mother in Texas. So she moved away and we were all very sad and we all tried to talk her into staying, but she moved. And it's a good thing she did because she's having a great life there in Texas. Her mother, Betty, would visit in California and come to the church sometimes. I met her too, and she is just a wonderful person. I think the last time I saw her, she was probably about 90. I do remember that we had a very handsome young man singing that day. He was probably about 35, and Betty shamelessly threw herself at this 35-year-old singer with just, you know, perfect pleasure, perfect happiness. She's like, well, you all go over there. Stuart and I are going to go over here. We're going to talk about things that are important. Betty was just that kind of a gal. She was really feisty, and you know, she passed away recently, and it was sad to see her go, but she had a rich and a full life until she was 94 years old, and then she died peacefully in her sleep. Now, one of the reasons I believe that Betty had a rich and a full life was that she was in touch with many superpowers, but I'm going to talk about one of them. Betty could write an amazing thank you note. She came from an era where thank you notes were an art form. Anybody here really good at thank you notes? Good. And you're younger than Betty, so I'm impressed, all of you. Yeah, I'm not very good at them. My handwriting's a little too rough. It's like a thank you note for me to not write a thank you note because they're so hard to read, to type a thank you note. But Betty would go into details about what the person meant to her and what their action had meant to her and what their gift had meant to her. There was a time years ago, probably when Betty was all of, 87 or so, that she was in a care facility. She had had some type of a medical incident, and she was in a care facility, and she had this particular caregiver, let's call her Caroline, and Caroline was very kind to Betty and very helpful, and so Betty wrote her a thank you note, and again, it was a typical Betty thank you note with details and lots of love and lots of grace and lots of blessing and lots of understanding for who Caroline really was and what she had done for Betty. Caroline read the note, loved it, tucked it in her purse. And then when she was leaving work that night, her purse was stolen. She ran into somebody at a convenience store and he tore the purse out of her hand and he ran away. And Caroline was obviously, understandably, upset that her purse had been stolen. You know, that's not a nice thing to happen to anybody. So she did what she needed to do. She canceled her credit cards, and she went home, and she canceled her bank accounts and did whatever it is you do when your purse is stolen. And then she went to bed, and the next morning she woke up, and there was her purse on the front steps of her porch with a note on it from the thief. And the note said, "You had a thank you note tucked in your purse." And I read it, and I said to myself, I could not steal a purse from somebody that good. Thank you. Thank you. And we're clapping for Betty, right? And I'm sure she can hear us because she's on the other side. Hey, Betty. Everybody. Hey, Betty. You know, when you think about how a simple thank you note can change a life, I'm sure it changed Caroline's life. She didn't realize the power of that thank you note. And I like to imagine that it changed the thief's life too. You know, maybe it gives me a lot of compassion for the thief. Maybe he was like Jean Valjean in Les Miserables, stealing bread to feed his family. Maybe there was something terrible going on in his life and he was desperate. But something turned his heart. Something turned his heart enough to put the purse back with all of the contents intact, by the way, and say, I just couldn't do it. I just didn't want to be that kind of person. So that's one way of blessing exponentially, to realize our superpower, to live our superpower as if it is a superpower, because it is, it's powerful, and then to look and see the ripples and the manifestations that living this superpower has on the world. And you know what? I'm willing to bet that every single person sitting here in this congregation today has some superpower that is perhaps something that you're expressing, but perhaps you also have latent superpowers as well. You know, and the thing is that God is so imaginative, grace is so big, that if we simply ask, Spirit, reveal my superpower today and allow me to use it, something will come forth. Stop that. You know, it's funny. I've shared with you over the past couple of weeks. You know, when you're in the middle of a pandemic, you kind of get a little desperate to do new things. So, you know, one of my superpowers is I ask people about their tattoos, and it turns into a relationship. You know, we talk about tattoos together. Another one. Gosh, this is so quirky. I don't even know if I should tell you. I mean, our superpowers are custom made. You know, I was in Jordan, I don't know, a couple years ago, and I was working with a lot of medical students, Muslim medical students, helping them work with Syrian refugees. They were trying to develop a system of psychology and psychotherapy, which was not a big thing in Jordan at that time. And there were all of these young medical students, women in their 20s, in their early 20s, wearing full hijab. And they were medical students, and they were young, and these are my people. I love people in their 20s. And because I'm a former nurse and because I'm disgusting, I did all the perfect niceties when I met with them, and then I got into this conversation of having them teach me how to say various medical terms in Arabic. The only one I can remember is vomit. Because it's kind of onomatopoeia. It sounds kind of like vomit. It's something like zif. But glad I share that with y'all. Now you too can say vomit in Arabic. But, you know, what was cool about that, let's get off all of that. What was cool about that is that there were these women dressed differently than me, a different culture than me, a different religion than me. And when I would go into the cafeteria where people would eat, there would be this whole table of women dressed in hijab, young women, going, oh, come over here, come over here. Come on, Bonnie, come over here. Wanting me to sit with them, wanting to teach me words and medical terms in Arabic, wanting to mock my accent, thank you very much, which was super fun for me. And, you know, I don't know if that changed relations between the United States and the Americans and the Middle East, but it did something. It did something. Later on, when the call to prayer would come, they were all devout, and when the call to prayer would come, and they would come into a room where I was sitting, and they would want to pray, and I'd say, let me get out of your way, and they'd say, no, stay, please stay. And so I would listen to them pray. I would watch them pray. And then afterwards, one time I interviewed them and I videotaped them, and they were so eager, so very eager for me to know how beautiful their faith is. And I asked them if I could put it on Facebook, and they said, absolutely, we want Americans to know what we are like. All of that from asking, how do you say vomit in Arabic? So see what I mean about our superpowers? Our superpowers are unique. They are special. All we need to do is open up to them. And if nothing's coming through, just ask Spirit, 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 what is my superpower? How can I express it today? There are so many ways to do this. Thousands of ways to kneel and kiss the ground, as Rumi says. Or hundreds. I can't remember. Let's say millions. Oh, another way to bless exponentially. It's not my favorite way. Bless when you don't want to bless. Yeah, Susan, I hear you over there. Bless when you don't want to bless. I can't even remember what I was going to say, but oh yeah. Okay, bless those who curse you. That's from the Sermon on the Mount, right? Bless those who curse you. Really? What I would prefer to do is to curse those who curse me. Anybody? Yeah. I see a big hand back in the back. Okay. You know, I was scratching down notes the other night, late at night, and writing down, and I tried to read my notes in the morning, and I saw, instead of curse those who curse you, which is what I want to do, I saw that I'd left the S out of curse, the first curse, and it said, cure those who curse you. I was like, I wonder if that's an accident or if that's something to notice. If I leave out the S, what would the S stand for? Oh. Separate self. Separate self. If somebody is being unkind to us, if somebody is cursing us, if somebody feels like against us, maybe they are simply only attacking our separate self, where there's this other part of ourselves that lies stretched in smiling repose, you know? I was listening to a podcast on the way in today, Hale Dwoskin, the Sedona Method, where he was saying, everything that happens is a wave in the ocean, but the ocean is not afraid of the waves. Think about the challenges that come up in your life, the people, the things that feel like they curse you, and realize that those are just waves in the ocean, but the ocean that we are is not afraid of the waves. It also reminds me of the Beatitudes. One of my favorite Beatitudes recently is, it's going to sound odd, but blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the way that I translate that is, blessed are you when you are persecuted, when you are persecuted and when you're in right alignment with the truth of your being, the kingdom of heaven is yours. All you can see is wholeness. Did that make sense? I hope so. Even if you're persecuted, if you are in alignment, if you are in line with righteousness, which is right thinking, which is right alignment, right? It's not self-righteousness. It's right alignment with the truth of your being, with the I Am presence. Then there is absolutely nothing of the ego within you, and there is nothing that can be attacked, nothing that can be depleted, nothing that can be violated. Blessing opens us up to that space of the eighth beatitude. Blessing opens us up to that place where the curse turns into a cure when we remove the perception of the separate self. Blessing opens ourselves up to the place where we recognize that we are the ocean and that there are waves that are part of us, but the waves do not scare the ocean. Blessing is all of these things. Now, I wish I could give you many examples of the times when I have blessed, when I don't want to bless. I do have one, and I've told you before, but sadly I just have the one, so I'm going to have to go with this one again. But this was, I do it sometimes, but not, you know. This is a big one. And you don't have to start big, by the way. You can bless things that curse you in a small way, like a stubbed toe or not getting the parking space you want. Just bless it. Start with the small things and then work up to the big stuff. This one was a big one that had a profound impact. And that was when, 11 years ago or so, I had cancer. And I did a treatment that I did not realize was not covered by my health insurance. And so I got the bill, and it was, $30,000, $40,000. Not really what I had lying around the house, just to, give to the doctor. And I appealed it. I went through the appeal process, and gosh, the temptation to curse the insurance company, to speak ill of them, to complain about them, to worry about them was so strong within me. I could barely contain myself. I needed a muzzle like a dog to keep my mouth shut about complaining about the insurance company. But when I did see that image coming up, that urge coming up to complain and to curse the insurance company, I would say, no, 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 no. Bless it, bless it, bless everything. Think about the gentle art of blessing. Think about Pierre Pradovan, blessing everything in your life. Bless, bless you, little stinker, bless. And sometimes the blessing was like, I bless the insurance company. I bless it. I bless it. But gradually it got easier and easier. You know, it's like anything, you just have to practice it. Gradually it got easier, and I came to a place of peace with it. And I realized that no matter what happened, that the place within me that was blessing itself would be intact. And wouldn't you know it, I won the appeal. I won the appeal. And it was a beautiful experience. But again, not only beautiful for winning the appeal, beautiful because of the consciousness that I gained in that moment. I gained, and then I let it go. But life continues to provide opportunities for us to say yes to the bless or do something else. Let's say yes to the bless, folks. Life turns out much better. Life turns out so much better when we're saying yes to the bless. Isn't that a TV show or something? Right? Yes to the dress? Is that like a wedding show or something? Okay. Here's what we do. If this church thing doesn't work out, we make our own TV show, and we call it Yes to the Bless. Thank you. In fact, even if this church thing does work out, because it is working out now, clearly, with you folks here and what's going on in this, it's going to work out. Let's do a TV show or something and call it Yes to the Bless podcast. I don't know. Yeah, here you go. We got a candidate. She's on it. Okay, good. All right. One more thing about how to bless exponentially, and that is there is this strange reciprocity in the universe. Strange reciprocity. This came up for me because, how much of myself should I reveal here? Oh, no. Yeah, it's a little easier with the opera in there. Oh, you know. You know, there's a thing. I don't know if any of you know the Enneagram. Do you guys know the Enneagram? It's a system of spiritual psychology, and some people use it for personal typing, and there are those of us that are a four on the Enneagram. Fours often want to be thought of as special. Fours often pick careers where they have to be in front of a lot of people. I've had three such careers. So fours want to be special, and there's something about us that's always kind of vying for this position to be special. And I decided this year, I was going to heal that. There's nothing wrong with being special. We're all special. But that sort of climbing to the top, you know, I used to do it with my sisters, like elbowing to see who could get the most attention, right? Anybody in your families? Yeah. That energy of doing that, you know, it just was getting old and it was getting exhausting. And so I decided this year that instead of trying to be special, I would try and help others be special. Such a great antidote. That's why we're doing all these interviews, you know? Putting the spotlight on others, shining without shining, shining by not shining, shining by just allowing others to shine their beautiful light and allow it to reflect and bounce off of all of us. And so, you know, I think that the same thing is true with blessing, If we are seeking to bless and seeking to bless, our seeking to bless is amplified by our willingness to acknowledge how others are blessing back at us. Okay, there's that reciprocity where the Holy Spirit, where the wholeness of spirit, doesn't recognize giving from receiving. It's all the same. The blessed are blessers, and the blessers are blessed. Are you with me on that? I'm going to say it again. The blessed are blessers, and the blessers are blessed. They are one and the same. If you want to see an example of blessing, and really an example of everything I've spoken about today, just go in the social hall after the service and look at the food pileup that is in there that we are donating to FoodShare. It is amazing, people. We had two bins. I was thinking, oh, yeah, we'll fill two bins. You know, the attendance is a little different since COVID, but we'll fill up two bins for sure. There is this overflow. There is this abundance. There is a smorgasbord, a glut of food. And you know what? It may not seem like a lot, but it is. It is. And think about the ripples of that blessing. Okay, so we're blessing, say, these folks that are going to receive the food, but are they not blessing us by giving the opportunity to serve in this capacity? So who is the blesser and who is the blessed? That's when we know that we're really onto something. That's when we know that we really are in that place where there are no opposites. That's when we have crossed the threshold into the land of mystical non-duality, which is the kingdom of heaven, which is a place where grace prevails, which is a place where it is like the ocean, where nothing can harm us. Everything is beautiful, everything is wise, everything is wonderful, and everything is in a state of grace, even when we cannot see it. Blessing gets us to that place. Blessing allows us to be. To bless exponentially opens us up to the reciprocal nature of reality. The reciprocal nature of reality is like, it's just what life is. It's waiting there for us to receive it. And so let's receive it now. Let's receive the true nature of being, the true nature of blessing that lives and moves and has its perfect being in each of us. We bless through finding our superpower and engaging in small acts, empowering our superpower with small acts. We bless by blessing even when we don't want to bless. And we bless by recognizing that the blessed are blessers and the blessers are blessed. Let's go into prayer and anchor in that consciousness.